Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you very much, and welcome to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us today, and hope you're doing well. You know, one of the things that people talk about all the time is who have you interviewed? Who are some of the big names that you have interviewed? And I tell them often, sometimes it's not the big names you want to hear about or their stories, but it's some of the people that whose potential for one reason or another was sidetracked, sometimes by their own means, something they did, and sometimes just something that was completely out of their circumstances. And we have a guy with us today, Stan Lovins, who fits right into that category. Stan had a promising baseball career. He would have signed and would have played with the Tampa Bay Rays, but a car accident ended that. And he is still involved in baseball and the training part of baseball. But the main thing about Stan is his outstanding Christian testimony and his desire to tell others about Christ and the way that he uses baseball to do that. And that's why we have him on Face to Face today. One of the things that I've been watching over the last few weeks is The Last Dance. I don't know if you've seen that on ESPN. It is the story of the 1998 Chicago Bulls, and it really goes in depth to talk about the players of that time. Of course, Michael Jordan was the key player, and a lot of it focuses on him, but what a collection of personalities they had. Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman, Steve Kerr, and just a number of other players. Including Phil Jackson, the coach at that time. And as I watch it, as I watch every sports show, I wonder, what is the what's the Christian connection? Where's the Christian faith? And quite honestly, on that Bulls team, I don't think there was a lot of Christian faith. I think there were a couple of guys on that team that may have been involved in chapel. But for the most part, it's kind of a raw show. There's a lot of swearing in it, and you can tell there's a lot of those players were not what you would call Christian athletes. But one of the things that I watch when I watch that is, how would things have changed if they had known, if a lot of those players had known about Jesus Christ, if Jesus Christ had been a major influence in their life? I just saw another show on the Football Life, not recently. The Football Life is an NFL network show, and they had on there about Aeneas Williams. Now, Aeneas Williams is another one of those guys who is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but then he was a cornerback safety for a number of teams, including the Arizona Cardinals and the St. Louis Rams. And what a strong Christian guy he was. Now, he is a guy that I'm going to try to do an interview with. He has taken his football career, that has ended, but he's taken the influence that he had in football and used it in such a tremendous way. He's now a pastor in Ferguson, Missouri, which, as you may remember, a few years ago was this epicenter of big riots, and Aeneas Williams has started a church there. So I guess what this all comes down to is, sometimes you have players, sometimes you have athletes whose testimony goes beyond what their athletic stats were, what their athletic legacy was. And that's why we do Face to Face, and that's why I think you're going to enjoy our time today with Stan Lovins. We'll take a break, and when we come back, you'll hear that interview, so don't go away. You are listening to Face to Face. All right, welcome to Face to Face. Glad to have you with us today. And today our guest is Stan Lovins. Stan Lovins II, former minor league baseball player who now has something called Sandlot Ministries, among other things. Stan, thanks for being with us today.
Well, it's a joy to be here, Tom. Thank you. I'm honored to be here with you.
Let's talk about your baseball career. How high did you get in professional baseball?
Well, I made it up to Double-A. And Double-A, I was up in the Prairie League with the Green Bay Sultans. And I was scheduled to go down with the Tampa Bay Devil Rays in 97. And was in a car accident 11 days before reporting down to spring training.
Tell me a little bit about this car accident. I know that was life-changing for you, and as you said, it was 97. You look very healthy now, but I know that that kind of stopped your career. So tell me about that.
Well, the interesting thing, it happened 11 days before spring training with the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, as I say. And I believe that God wanted to get the devil out of my life to get the ray of light in. It was a very frigid morning in Indianapolis. I was actually in my in-between season job just to make ends meet as a minor league ball player, and delivering bread of all jobs. I was delivering bread in between. No, and had a cab driver ran a red light on me, and I went through rehab for 6 months, rocked my world upside down.
Now, were you in the cab, or were you were delivering bread?
I was delivering bread. I was in a box truck and delivering bread, which is interesting enough. I didn't know Jesus Christ, didn't have a clue who he was, never went to church a day of my life growing up, but had churches on every other street corner.
Tell me how that affected your career. How badly injured were you?
Well, I went through rehab for 6 months, so it really messed up my spine, especially in between my shoulder blades, my right shoulder, and I hit my left knee on the inside panel of the box truck. And so went through rehab extensively for 6 months, couldn't lift my arm without pain, and but through it all, God utilized that to humble my heart and help me overcome my pride, my anger, rage, all the other things I dealt with as a young man through the torments that I went through in my home life growing up. That was off the field, and even some of the turmoil that I went through on the field.
It's amazing how God works. There's so many things. God puts things in our path that changes us. We have things that we think we want to do, and we've got a plan, and God's got a different plan. Who drafted you? Were you drafted by the Devil Rays?
No, sir. I was supposed to be drafted coming out of college. I went to Marion College That was my second stint of college. My first stint was at U of I, University of Indianapolis, and I transferred over to Marion, and now it's Marion University, of course. I was supposed to be drafted coming out of college. Didn't up getting drafted. Played a year of semi-pro baseball up with the Anderson Yankees, mm-hmm. and ended up signing an independent pro contract, and then the Houston Astros looked at me, Jim Pransky with the Houston Astros, and that shifted a lot of things for me in the right direction.
It had to be exciting for you to think about the fact that you're getting a chance to play pro ball. What do you think were the skills that you had that elevated you, that got you up to that level?
Well, number one, I just through all the hurt and the pain and things growing up, I was being trained to persevere. And one of the things I love to do is I love to hustle. I know the one thing on both sides of the diamond, whether it's defense or offense, hustle has to be there on both sides. And so I ran a 6.5 and a 60-yard dash, and I hit 359 my first year pro ball. I had a little bit of a stick. Didn't have much weight, so my power numbers weren't as high as I would have liked to have been. I didn't gain that weight until later. I didn't really mature into my manhood until about the age of 25, 26.
What position did you play?
Professionally, shortstop. I was supposed to be drafted as a pitcher. I was primarily a pitcher.
I thought you were a pitcher.
Yeah, I was primarily a pitcher through college. I threw 92, 93. And But I loved to hit. I wanted to play day in and day out. So I would take 150, 300-ground balls before or after practice, before or after games, even during pro ball. And with that, hard work. I mean, I didn't have the physical attributes of just size. And you got to keep in mind, I played in an era where there was a lot of steroids.
Yeah.
And I didn't.
You were in that Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa years.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I didn't. If I took steroids, it had an adverse effect on me because I never had the size. But I had speed. I ran 6.5 and 60, like I said, and could throw 93 across the diamond. I loved it. To field. I love that aspect of defense. But with all that said, it's just not quitting, not giving up, and keep persevering. And I believe that's a message for today.
Tell me about your life growing up in Indianapolis. And I understand that you had kind of an impoverished lifestyle growing up.
Yeah, I grew up in an impoverished home. Mom and dad in a home, five sisters. I grew up in a very impoverished area. But people on the outside looked at us and thought we were Christians. I knew how to say yes, sir, yes, ma'am, open doors and all the polite things to do. But my heart was far from God. I never knew God growing up. But there was a lot of abuse in my household. There was physical abuse. There was beatings. There was I was molested at the age of 7 by my dad and went through a lot of torment there. My sisters were all abused. And so we were all athletes, my sisters, but at the same time, we didn't know how to overcome. So we took it out on the opposition when we were on the ball fields or on the basketball court or whatever sport we could play, just to try to cope or deal with in that survival mode. But in reality, we were all miserable.
But it looks as though sports was your escape. It looks as though did you have any role models growing up, any people that you looked at and said, I want to be like that?
Well, I like the old timers back in the game. I like watching Brooks Robinson, different video footage of guys like that, Ted Williams. And these are way before my time, but yet at the same time, I would also go to the Indianapolis Indians Tripway Stadium at the old Bush Stadium.
Old Bush Stadium.
Yes, sir. And so, I'd watch Razor Shines and I saw some players like George Foster and, of course, Johnny Bench and then Pete Rose.
Randy Johnson, I think, played here.
Randy Johnson played here. I saw him throw one. It was 102 miles an hour.
Wow.
And I was only probably about 8 or 9 years old. And I remember hearing the seams buzzing through the air. But he had to he threw this pitch and it was wild. It went halfway at the backstop, which wasn't a bad thing because then nobody wanted to step up to the plate.
Right. Kind of give him a little scare there a little bit. Now this, when you got hit by this cab, how did it change your life spiritually, or did it change your life spiritually?
Oh, it rocked my world. I mean, I was a pro ball player in the minors, and I had a professional model as a girlfriend. I had my package all together, and yet on the inside, the package was ripped up, it was torn, it was hurting, I was bleeding from the inside out, just crying out for help, didn't know where to go. Never went to church a day in my life, never heard any source of hope, and it was great organizations all around, but just nobody reached out to us as a family. And so the car accident really shifted a lot of things, and 6 months later, I cried out to God for truth, because I honestly, Tom.
Were you on a street corner, or where did you, when you say you cried out, where were you?
I was actually in my driveway at the rental house where I was at, and I was heartsicken. I was broken. I didn't know where to go. I mean, here I was, a pro athlete. My livelihood, my idol was baseball. That was what I lived for. That was my escape. That was my identity as I knew it at the time. In reality, it all came crashing down when I couldn't report to spring training with the Tampa Bay Devil Rays.
It had to be really different. Our guest is Stan Lovins. He's a minor league baseball player, former minor league baseball player, who has used some circumstances in his life to become a fine evangelist and a messenger of God. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll hear more about this. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. You had some tremendous things happen. Stan Lovins is our guest. Is not far from baseball. Baseball's still a big part of your life.
Yes, sir.
I read about where you had an incredible experience of where a lady came to life in arms. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that was my transformation moment. I cried out to God for truth on the hood of my car, and 3 days later, I'm at a widow woman's house. Her name is Margaret Rose Cox. Margaret Rose Cox was... her husband was a war vet with the Navy and high-ranking officer, and he had passed away and asked me if I would look after her, and so if anything ever happened to him, and so I said, yes, sir. And 3 years later, after he had passed away, I'm at her house, and again, 3 days after I cried out to God for truth, and as I was sitting across from her small kitchen table, she made a little brunch. And all of a sudden, she said something, I said something. She thought it was funny. And I heard, that's all I heard, her gasping. But she didn't grab her throat, didn't hit her chest, didn't show any of the universal signs that she was choking. and she had just taken a bite of her plate. And so she gets up after about 35, 40 seconds, gets up and goes to walk off. And I said, Mrs. Cox, are you okay? She kind of indicated with her hand she was all right. And she went off a little half bath, which is only about 10 feet away from where the table was. And as she feebly walked over there, I sat there for about 8 to 10 minutes. And everything in my past flashed before my eyes. Everything of the torment, the things I went through as a little boy, also getting cut my senior year from high school baseball. Ooh. And the coach telling me I'd never make it, and I was never good enough, I wasn't big enough. And then through college, I was supposed to get drafted. That didn't come, plus all the abuse from my house and the screams, the cries, and my mom being hit by my dad, and all the torment that went behind the scenes. And all that flashed before my eyes, and then there was a voice that spoke to me, and it was a father's voice. And I know this sounds strange to some people, but it really happened. And the voice spoke to me and said, go check on her. And I felt somebody tap me on the back of the head 3 times.
Really?
Like I would my son. Come on, son, let's go. And I looked back, and the window was shut, the door was shut. There was nobody else in that house but the widow woman, Margaret Rose Cox, and myself. And so I get up and I go over there and look into that half bath. The door was open, and there she laid as pale as that white sheet of paper. Hmm. And she had blue lips. I felt her. She was cool to the touch. She had no pulse. And the voice that spoke to me said, pick her up. Hmm. So I picked her up. And then I stepped into the little eatery kitchen about two steps in. And keep in mind, my back was still messed up. My shoulder was still messed up. And so I held this 81-year-old woman that was dangling in my arms. And she was dead weight because she was lifeless. And the voice said, Heimlich. Well, I'd never done Heimlich before, Tom. Mm-hmm. So I pulled up once. Didn't work. Pulled up twice. Up cut my piece of chicken the size of the quarter. Mm-hmm. Still nothing. Mm-hmm. She's dead weight in my arms. And then, Tom, I felt something I'd never felt in my life. Up to that point, I felt a presence, and I know it was God's glory, but His glory came into that room and quickened her body back to life in my arms.
Fantastic story.
And at the same time, God healed my back and healed my right shoulder.
Yeah.
And only Jesus Christ can do that, and He's the one that gets all the glory. But that was my wake-up call, and that was the first time I experienced seeing the death and resurrection power of Jesus.
That's an amazing story. And I know that you've been able to do that. You've moved. How long did it take you to go from being what you were, kind of a non-believer? What transformed you into where you are now to be a minister of the gospel?
Well, after that day, I began to, when I saw a dead woman come back to life in my arms,
wow.
I really began to seek after truth. I didn't realize that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life at the time. I never heard the gospel. And so as I began to seek after, God began to send messengers into my path. And so I want to encourage those who are listening right now, be a messenger of Jesus Christ. Encourage people. You never know the lives that you're going to impact. And
right.
So I switched real estate firms because I was trying to make ends meet and selling real estate and doing baseball instruction in Brownsburg, Indiana. And as I continued to do that, I finally got invited to a church, and they were doing an outreach. And long story short, I went, and after going for about a month and a half, I was led to the Lord. I gave my heart to Jesus December 1st of 97. Really? Even though I saw a dead person come back to life and a resurrection power of Jesus. But faith, as you know, Tom, comes by hearing the word.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed to hear the gospel. So when I came to know Jesus at December 1st of 1997, I immediately went out that week and began to testify what I knew. I knew Romans 10:9 that, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus the Lord, believe in your heart God raised from dead, you shall be saved. And that was good news. And so I began to take that good news and that Jesus died and rose again. And I saw 3 people come to know Jesus.
Hmm.
The next week I saw 5 people come to know Jesus.
Yeah.
And Tom, I just didn't know what evangelist was. I didn't even know who Billy Graham was.
Wow.
And I didn't know.
That's starting from scratch, I guess.
Absolutely. But foundationally, I believe it was a purity of just a heart to seek after God And I needed that little boy's heart at the age of 27 to be transformed.
And baseball has been you've used baseball in a number of ways to reach people. Even you were talking about Brownsburg. I think that's the team went to the Little League World Series.
Yes.
I think there might be some major leaguers. I think Tucker Barnhart, I believe, is
Tucker Barnhart played
a right
little bit later. But I was instructing those kids already. And when I gave my heart to Jesus, I just began to instruct them sharing the gospel as well. And saw many of those kids coming to know Jesus. But in 99, there was the Little League World Series they went to the World Series. That was Lance Lynn, who's now playing with the Texas Rangers.
Right.
He just signed a measly $30 million contract. But Tucker Barnhart was in that crew a little bit later in the early 2000s. And then you had Drew Storen as well.
Yep.
Drew Storen, right-handed pitcher, phenomenal pitcher as well.
Washington Nationals.
Yep, Washington Nationals. Then he played with the Cincinnati Reds a little bit later as well.
Right.
But then you had all the kids that people forget about. You know, Mickey Meyer, who was in a skateboarding accident and was in a coma for 19 weeks.
Yeah.
And God did a miracle for him. And I just spoke to him via Messenger the other day as well. So, but through that, God just stirred my heart because, you know, we hear all the time that sports are 90% mental. But that's not truth. That's leaving 10% margin of error to the opposition.
Right.
It's 100% mental. It's also 100% physical. And most importantly, it's 100% spiritual.
Yeah.
And I believe knowing Jesus Christ, you know, he'll help you overcome your fears, your doubts, your worries, all the shame, all the pain in the game, outside the game, to overcome so that you can be purely in line with him and excel on the ball field and off the field. And so I've been blessed to see over 29 kids that are now playing pro ball or have been playing pro ball at various different levels.
Fantastic. And you have this group now called Sandlot Ministries. Tell me about Sandlot Ministries.
Well, Sandlot Ministries was birthed, obviously, of a passion to go out to the sandlots and play the game, but also, more importantly, is to go out in all the world and share the gospel, the Great Commission, and lead them from the sand and soil right to the solid rock of Jesus Christ, led by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so in the past, we've had travel teams, and we've had 7 travel teams. And one summer, we saw about 18,000 people give the heart of Jesus.
Wow.
And so just going out into the sandlots and just meeting people where they're at and bringing healing to the hurting.
You're doing a lot, no doubt about that. We kind of have to wrap this up, and I'd love to hear more, and I hope we can hear more and we can connect more. But as you close here, do you have a favorite verse that kind of means a lot to you that's kind of your foundation, so to speak?
Well, it's kind of... Tom, I have to go back to the foundation of 1 Corinthians 15:57. It says, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And God literally laid victory in my arms when I saw a dead woman come back to life. And so that transformed my heart, my understanding to seek after the living God. So, yes, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ is definitely my foundational scripture. And so that's why even in Sandlot Ministries, it's called Catch the Spirit. That gives us the victory.
Yeah. Stan Lovins has been our guest. He's a former minor league ball player, and as you heard, has gone through some circumstances that's taken him basically from the bottom in a home life to where he's now an evangelist and seeing a lot of success. Stan, thanks for spending time with us, and good luck in your ministry.
Well, God bless you, Tom. Thank you, sir.
All right, Stan Lovins. We'll take a break and be back, so don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. All right, welcome back. Hope you enjoyed our time with Stan Lovins. I'll tell you, my time with Stan was very interesting in the fact that we went out to eat right after we did this interview. Went to a restaurant, and Stan questioned the server whether or not she knew Jesus Christ. And as I'm sitting there kind of flabbergasted, because you don't often do that, I watched as Stan worked and as Stan talked to this young lady, and she actually had tears in her eyes. She was talking about the tough life that she's had and various things that have happened in her life, and I watched as she didn't pray to accept Christ right there, but Stan said that he'd pray for her and follow up with her, and I thought, wow, this is really a man of God and really a guy that's very open about his faith. And so Stan Lovins, I hope you enjoyed the show. We've got so many other interviews on our website. I hope that you'll check those out. Those can be found at facetofaceradio.com. That's our website. And as you take a look at that, pray for those people. particularly during this time. I mean, athletes, as much as anybody else, are just really kind of at a place right now to where they're not quite sure at all what's going on. I know a number of them have moved on. I know some of them were trying to decide if they're going to continue their career, and the virus outbreak has made it very clear that they need to move on, and they have. But there's some that are still out there hanging, trying to figure out what's going to happen, trying to see what's coming next. And particularly these Christian athletes now have an opportunity to share with others about what's happening, and to talk to them about Jesus Christ and how he can be their strength during this time when it's hard to know what's going on. So pray for those guys, men and women, as they do that. Again, our website is at facetofaceradio.com. As we close today, I want to take you to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Here's what it says. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, purifies us from all sin. That's the crux of our show. If you know Jesus Christ, and we hope that you do, realize that God's in control. And if you don't know Jesus, I hope this will be a time when you can simply pray and turn your life over to him and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Save me. Take me through this tough time. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Bye.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Russ. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana, 47202. You can also find us on the web at facetofaceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face.